I just want to read this to you while you're standing. It says this in Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. It says, "Now it came to pass as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to come into your house and to open up the Word of God. Lord, today we thank you. It is like no other book on planet Earth. Thank you today, Lord. It's full of life and power. It has the ability to transform our lives, to equip us, to heal us, to raise us up, to cause us to walk in your ways. Father, today we pray that you would pour into us the brightness of your daybreak, and that you would pour into us your revelation truth. Lord, let it lead us onto your bright and shining path, which brings us before your presence and into your many sanctuaries of holiness. God, we thank you. Thank you by your Spirit, Lord, that you would teach us and help us with the Word of God. Lord, that it would bring forth fruit in our lives, that we would rejoice and be glad and be blessed, because God, you are good. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody agree with that said? Amen. Hey, tonight, before you're seated, why don't you turn about three or four people around you, give them, greet them in the name of the Lord. Say, it is so good to see you here in the house. Tell them they're looking good. Tell them they're going to be blessed. Come on now, come on now. I see some of you sitting down pretty quick. You got to make sure you got at least three people. At least three people in God's house. Amen. Forgive me for getting a little emotional. I suppose I'm in good company. Keith Hershey prays every time he comes. It was so good to see Pastor Dan cry this morning as an altar call was going forth. And I just really think that people who present the things of God ought to be touched and moved themselves. Amen. And so it's so good. It's so good. Well, we just read a verse where Jesus' disciples have just been in his presence while he prayed. And as a result, they turn and they say to Jesus, "Jesus, will you teach us how to pray?" And I want to know, is there anybody out there who's ever wanted to be a fly on the wall and listen in onto somebody's prayer life? Now, let's be clear, not in order to extract information that doesn't belong to you or to be nosy. Amen. But just because you happen to know that, man, that individual, they just seem to have a connection with God that I don't quite yet have. Or this group of people, man, they just seem to get answers to prayer all the time, and I'm not quite there yet. Or maybe you have heroes in the faith. You know, I have a couple of heroes in the faith, and I'm so grateful that there's been a couple I've been able to hear them pray. And when you hear them pray and you look at their prayer life and then you look at your own, you're like, I'm missing a few things here. I need to glean from their prayer life. I want to have an interaction with God like that. I want to have my prayers answered like that. I want to have, how about this, a confidence and a boldness like they have, an expectation that my prayers are being heard and that they are going to be answered. Amen. There are people all around us that man, if we had the privilege of being able to listen in on their prayer life, I think there's some areas where we could glean from. In fact, there's a man by the name of Samuel. He's a member here, and he's here in the sanctuary praying like almost every day of the week. And the man is in the face of God and has a powerful prayer life. In fact, this last Wednesday, we had staff prayer. Right after staff prayer, I went to greet him, and I've had the privilege of getting to know him a little bit more over recent months. And, man, he pulled out all these maps of the world, He's like, yeah, Pastor Joe, I'm praying for this country that God would send more missionaries over here. They really have a need for more people to preach the gospel. I'm praying for this country over here. They really need revival. And I'm praying for this country over here. They've got missionaries that are under persecution. And I'm believing God for an outpouring. And he'll just go on and on and on. And some of the things he shares with me, I'm like, oh man, God, like I need to get my prayer life saved because it's nowhere near where this guy is at. In fact, Pastor Teresa's over here on the front row, and she's been for many, you know, an envy of her prayer life because she just prays so passionately, so powerfully. It's like, what does she know that I don't? How about our very own Pastor Deborah? She tells about how she looked out over San Bernardino, and she began to pray for this region. And God began to speak to her heart about how he was going to pull people out of this inland empire and bring them into his glorious kingdom. And what happened next? Fast forward, what is it, 36 years now, just about? And we are sitting in the prayer, in the answered prayer to somebody's prayer life. I don't know about you, but it would have been nice to have been a fly on the wall and to listen in. Well, that's what's happened right here. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, the disciples have just gotten done listening to Jesus pray. And the way Jesus prayed was so much different than their prayer life. I would assume that the way that Jesus prayed was so much different than the way that they were taught. We know that the way Jesus prayed was a whole lot different than the religious rulers of the day. The religious rulers of the day prayed with formalism. They prayed with vain repetitions, the Bible says. They prayed so that they could be seen by men. They prayed and their prayers were impotent and didn't bear the fruit that, man, they were watching Jesus, the kind that they were seeing Jesus bring forth in his prayer life. And so they say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, we want you to teach us to pray. I mean, after all, John taught his disciples to pray. Can't you teach us to pray? And so Jesus comes along and he obliges their request and he begins to teach them how to pray. And so we pick up here, and let me read it to you again in verse number 2. It says, so Jesus said to them, Luke 11, 2, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, now before I go any further, how many of you out there want to have an effective prayer life? How many of you out there want to have a fruitful prayer life? Anybody out there want to get your prayers answered? And the Bible says, man, there are a few things that can joy your heart, like giving your petition to God, having him answer it. The Bible says it'll make your joy full to know God heard me. God answered. I got what I needed. What does this mean for my future? Right? All of us should have a desire for our prayer life to grow, for our prayer life to increase. And so Jesus begins to teach them how to pray, and he says, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so today I want to talk to you from the subject of learning to pray like Jesus prayed. That's the title of the message, learning to pray like Jesus prayed, if you're taking notes. And we're going to extract some points from this, about half of a chapter here, from the Word of God and the things that Jesus had to say about prayer. Learning to pray like Jesus prayed. And I'm so thankful it's been documented in the Word of God for us to glean from. The first point I want to bring to you today on learning to pray like Jesus prayed is this, that the fear of the Lord is foundational for any effective prayer life. If you want to have an effective prayer life, my friend, if you want to have answers to prayer, if you want to be confident in your prayers, the fear of the Lord is foundational for any effective prayer life. Jesus made this statement. He said, our Father. Okay, now before we dive into this point too much, let's stop for just a moment and let me say this to you, that one of Jesus' favorite descriptions of God and the way he addressed God is he called God Father. And if you know anything about paternal love, I got a 9.5-month-old baby. He's not old enough yet to talk, but man, if he could, I'd give him anything he asked me for. Because I just love that child. And the same goes for my 13 and my 11-year-old, all right? Just wise enough to know I don't give them everything that they ask for because sometimes they don't know what they're asking for, and what they're asking for is gonna hurt them. And so it's like, no, you're not having a cell phone right now. No, you're not doing this. No, you're not going there. Okay, yes, you can do this. But you understand that a parent's love for their child, man, they're willing to give them just about anything and everything that's gonna be a blessing and that's gonna be good in their life, amen. And so I think that this truth right up here at front should give us a confidence and an assurance when approaching God. Because listen, if you've ever experienced paternity, if you come from a good home, and you have parents who loved you and treated you right and raised you well, can I just say this to you? As good as they were, or as good as you are to your kids, ain't nobody got nothing on God. He is the best parent of all time, and he will always be. It doesn't even compare. And so again, this should bring us to a place of confidence and assurance, knowing that we have a Father who loves us, and he's not looking to withhold from you the things that you need. Amen. But when we take his kindness for weakness and we start to approach God with a level of familiarity, or we treat God as if he's common, man, it's going to undermine our prayer life. And there's a place in the Old Testament, I didn't bring the verse with me tonight, but it says that when we despise the Lord, we will be lightly esteemed. Now, despise is a pretty strong word, but you could say it this way. When we treat God as common, we enter into a place where we are lightly esteemed ourselves. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be lightly esteemed by God. I want my prayers to matter and to be heard when I pray them. And so Jesus makes this statement. He says, all right, he says, our Father, which is so comforting. But then he says, who art in heaven, that is high and lifted up. He says, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed means this. It means to set apart. It means to make holy. It means to sanctify. It means this. It means to distinguish. Anybody out there watching any of the Olympics lately? And you got these athletes, and they are doing their best to distinguish themselves above the rest. They want to stand on that top platform with the gold medal around their neck and let everybody know that they are number one at running. They are number one at swimming. They are number one at basketball. They are number one in whatever field that they are competing in, right? They are distinguishing themselves. In other words, what Jesus is saying when he's saying, hallowed be your name, Father, he is bringing a distinguishment to God. And he is honoring God above everything else. God, you are the priority. You are holy. You are separate. You are sanctified. You are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. You are creator of the heavens and the earth. And I'm coming before you today with an honor and a reverence for your name and for who you are. And I'll tell you what, when you come before God like that, you're going to get God's attention. Did you hear what I just said? When you come before God with an awe and with a respect, with a reverence and with the fear of the Lord, you will get God's attention. All right, let's do it like this, because I got like a few amens on the front row over here. I need to reach some of the rest of y'all. If you had the privilege of going to the United States, or you're here in the United States, to the White House and to meet the president, how would you approach the president of the United States? Now, I know this might not go over too well either, because we live in such a highly politicized time, and people are already like, I'll tell you what I'd tell the president. Right? I got news for you. Did you know the Bible tells us in the Old Testament and the New that we are to honor kings and those who are in authority? In fact, if you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were told by King Nebuchadnezzar, bow down to the image of me or die, they didn't say, whatever king, we didn't like you anyways. You suck. No, you know what? They addressed him and they honored his position. And they said, oh, king, we hear what you're saying to you, but we're not going to obey, because we serve God. And God is able to deliver us from your hand. But even if he doesn't, with due respect, sir, we're still not going to bow. And he got mad. Come on, that's right. They honored him even though he was telling them to sin and their lives were on the line. Yes? Go read it for yourself at home. This is your homework tonight. He threw him in the fire, okay? And they threw the three young men in, and then all of a sudden he said, hang on just a minute, because didn't we throw three of them in? But I see four men, and the fourth one is like unto the Son of God, what has happened in our midst? And he called them out. And here came the three boys. Not a hair on their head was singed. They didn't smell like smoke. And not a single piece of their clothing was touched by the fire. That's the kind of God that we serve. I don't know about you, but I want to honor him. But getting back to my point, you wouldn't show up to the White House and be like, "Yo, Joe! Hey, Donald. What up, Kamala?" Like, that's not how it works. It's, "Nice to meet you, Mr. President." Or come November, if it is, "Nice to meet you, Mrs. President." And we honor. And you know what's going to happen? If you do have that privilege, their ear's going to be open to whatever your suggestion, your idea, or your request is. Yes? You start showing up, "Yo, Joe," they're going to call security, and you're going to be on the newspaper, right? If we could approach men like that, how much more should we approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the throne that sits above every other place of authority? You know, there's another story of it's a beautiful story, and you should read it. In the Old Testament, a woman, godly woman by the name of Esther, and she was the queen. She was married to the king. But they knew that if anybody actually approached without being invited to the throne, you got your head cut off. And so she fasted and prayed, and then she showed up dressed in her best. How many know today that when it comes to approaching God, we ought to be dressed in our garments of holiness, dressed in our garments of purity. We need to be dressed with the fear of the Lord. We need to be dressed with humility. We need to be dressed our best. And when you are dressed your best, you're going to get God's attention. And she showed up there uninvited in the middle of the courtyard of the king. And the Bible says he saw her. And she found favor in his sight. And so he held out the scepter. We know it to be the scepter of righteousness. And she touched that scepter, and she was welcomed, and she was able to make her petition to the king, and it was heard. Again, how much more, if we treat men this way, if we honor men this way, how much more should we hallow the name of our God? And when we do, man, you're going to get God's attention. You know what else I find? That when you hallow God's name and you approach him with an honor and a reverence and a respect, something happens. You come away with a deeper experience of his presence. And then when you turn and you face the challenges, however dire they may be, you know, oh no, I just came from the presence of God, and I know my God, and he is bigger and he is greater than anything. He's got this under control, and he's gonna intervene on my behalf, and I'm gonna come out on the other side not even smelling like smoke. Come on, somebody. That's what happens when we honor God. And so let's say this again, that the fear of the Lord is the foundation for an effective prayer life. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse number 7, I want you to see this in the life of Jesus. Because not only did he teach his disciples, but he exemplified it as well. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 7, it makes this statement. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death," notice this next statement, "and was heard because of his godly fear." He was heard because of his godly fear. Now, I'm going to make a point. It didn't say he was heard because he was the Son of God. I'm not saying he wasn't heard because he was the Son of God. I'm just saying that the emphasis here is not on the person of Jesus. The emphasis here is on the fact that he feared the Lord. In fact, I believe that God answered his prayer request in this way. "All right, son, I hear what you're saying. And here's what I'll do. You have the authority to call down a legion of angels. I need you to go to that cross. But because you fear me, I hear your request, and I'm going to provide a way should you need it." And of course, we know that Jesus offered up his life willingly for us. "No man took his life," Jesus said. I lay the thing that you're not big enough to get to take my life. I got to lay it down for you. Because if I wanted to, I could call down a legion of angels. Why? Because I feared the Lord. I prayed, and God gave me an answer. Amen. And so what do we see here in Jesus' life? That it was the fear of the Lord that got God's attention. And so the fear of the Lord is the foundation, guys, for an effective prayer life. And we needed to hallow and to sanctify and to set apart his name. We need to approach him with awe and respect, not flippantly. You know, Not like you pray before your meal type of prayer, right? But with an awe and a deep respect and a reverence for his name. You're going to get God's attention. You're going to have an experience with God's presence that is going to change your life. Amen. Now, there's a whole lot of things that Jesus goes on to say here in what's called the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer, right? A lot of things that need their own time and attention. But I want to skip ahead, all right? And I want to get to verse number 5 here in Luke chapter 11, because Jesus is still talking about prayer. And this would be, you know, this would be kind of like a summary or an overview of this section of scripture, right? So if you walk away like, man, we didn't even get to my favorite part of the Lord's Prayer, all right, we'll save it for another time, all right? Another day, another time, we'll get to it. But I want to kind of take a little bit of an overview perspective of what Jesus had to say about prayer here in Luke chapter 11. So the first and most important point here is that the fear of the Lord is foundational to any effective prayer life. But then he goes ahead and shows them this prayer. Then he comes to verse number 5, still talking about prayer. And he says here, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Verse number 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So Jesus just lays out this model prayer. He essentially says, hey, this is how you ought to pray. And then once he's done with this prayer, in verse number 5, he starts to use an illustration to communicate yet another truth about prayer that's going to help us in our prayer life. Everybody follow me today? And so he uses this illustration of a good neighbor. How many out there are blessed to have some good neighbors? Anybody out there? Okay, I know this is San Bernardino, so we need more good neighbors in this place. Okay, how about this? How many of you out there consider yourself to be a good neighbor? That should be every hand in the building. We are called by God to be good neighbors, right? But let's go back. How many of you out there have some good neighbors, and they're good enough that if you were in the middle of a recipe and you needed a cup of sugar or a couple of extra eggs or some bread, that before you ran off to the store, you could go ahead and go to your next door neighbor, knock on the door and say, hey, I just need a couple of it. Come on, let me see your hands. If you have, anybody out there have any neighbors like that? Come on, raise them nice and high, and let me see. It's okay, they're not here. Okay. Now keep your hands up. Man, my hand's getting tired. This is church, this isn't the gym. You might need to go to the gym. All right, so. Okay, now of the hands that are raised, how many of you out there, as good as your neighbor is, would feel comfortable going to them at midnight? Keep your hand up. Wow, I think I just lost about 85% of the hands that were raised, right? Because we understand that while they're a good neighbor, there are some parameters to these things. I'm not going to be knocking on the door at midnight like, can I get some eggs? They're going to be like, you can get out of here. Right? Like, look, if my neighbor needed some, like, I got a screwdriver you don't have. I got a hose. What do you need? I got a wrench. I'm here for you, bro. Just once we get to like about 9 o'clock, don't be coming over to my house. You wake up my baby and you're going to hear it, right? Right? There are parameters and there are limitations, right? To our interactions with others, right? And so Jesus is using this illustration to communicate something to us. And here in verse number 8, he gets to his point, and he says this. He says, I say to you, though he, the neighbor, will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, I'm going to be up front with you tonight. I don't think the word persistence is the best translation, is the best word for what Jesus is trying to communicate. I think persistence is part of it. I just think persistence cuts the meaning of what Jesus is trying to say short. Okay? The Greek word, somebody said, uh-oh. Where did my Greek word go? The Greek word is actually the word anaidia. an idea. And it literally means this: shamelessness. It actually is a compound word, and if you broke it down, it would literally translate without bashfulness. So instead of reading it, now listen, let's be clear, because we're not throwing persistence out. We know throughout Scripture persistence is something that Jesus emphasized. He used another story about the woman, you know, the widow with the unjust judge, and she kept on coming to the judge, and he's like, look, because she's gonna annoy me if she keeps on coming, so I might as well just answer her prayer request and be done with her, right? And Jesus' point was to say this, that men everywhere ought always to pray and not lose heart. So there is a certain level of persistence that we should have in our prayer. We should ask and keep on asking. We should seek and keep on seeking. We should knock and keep on. We should, throughout the course of our lives, we should never stop praying. But that's not all that Jesus is trying to communicate here, because he's using an illustration of a friend who's approaching a neighbor at midnight. What is he saying here? Well, let's read it like this. Let's read verse number 8 like this. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his shamelessness, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I like this word. And this is point number 2, right? Because of his audacity. Because of his audacity. Not because he's his friend or a good neighbor, but because he had the audacity to ask in his time of need, though it was the midnight hour. I wonder if there's anybody in the house who's been found themselves in a midnight hour. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you have the audacity to ask God, if you have the audacity to ask him, regardless of what the circumstance or the situation will be, Jesus is saying, I dare you to ask God and find out what God will do for you. In fact, that's why verse number 9 comes along and he says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. For everybody who asks receives, and everybody who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus is saying, ask. Have the audacity to ask. Why is it that we are so, you know, we are so hesitant and so apprehensive to ask God? Ask and you shall receive. Listen today, if you got a small need, ask. Why? You're not going to inconvenience God. Today, if you got a big need, I got news for you. You need to ask. Why? Because God is not intimidated by your request. Today you say, I got a need somewhere in the middle. Come on, ask. You have not because you ask not. Listen today, wherever you find yourself, today is the day to get down on your knees and to go before the Father and say, God, I have a need. And I'm just going to be bold enough and brazen enough to take you at your word. You said, by your stripes I am healed. You said you would supply all of my need according to your riches and glory, which are by Christ Jesus. You said that you would beautify, dignify, and crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. You said that you know the future that you have for me, thoughts of good and not of evil, plans to give me a future and a hope. God, you said, Jesus, you said, in fact, in John 14:14, ask, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So I'm expecting you to come through on your word. I'm expecting you to come through on your faithfulness. I'm expecting to find your mercies new every morning. And God, I'm expecting to find myself in a place of giving you praise because you heard my prayer and you came through on my behalf. Ask. Ask tonight. Man, I thought Pastor Joe was going to go a little bit deeper tonight. No. Jesus said, because he had the audacity to ask. What prayers have you been withholding today? What things have you been holding back from God? What things have you been unwilling to step out onto the waters of faith and say, all right, God, I'm going to take you at your word. Here we go. Come on today. Jesus says, ask. Why? Because God is like that good neighbor, and he's going to give you what you ask for. Amen. Do you have the audacity to ask God? I don't know. Did they ever put that point up? It's on the lower half. Have the audacity to ask God. That was point number 2. Amen. And finally tonight, We're still in Luke chapter 11. We read on in verse number 11. Jesus says this, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Notice Jesus goes back to the example of paternal love. He goes back to the example of a parent caring for their child. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? What's your picture of God? What's your perspective of God? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Verse 13, if you then, being evil, right? No, nobody would do those things. It seems like kind of way out there in left field, like, Jesus, where do you come up with this stuff? Like, of course not. Of course I wouldn't give my son a stone when he asked for bread, or a serpent if he asked for eggs, or a scorpion in the place of something that he had need of. Of course not. That's ridiculous, Jesus. What does he say? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? You need to underline that. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In fact, there's another place where it says, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? And so the third and final point is this, is that God is a good God. God is a good God. If you're looking at your prayer life and you're looking at how can my prayer life grow? How can my prayer life become more effective? How can it become more meaningful? How can I have more confidence in my prayer life? You're going to need the fear of the Lord. You're going to need to have the audacity to ask. And then you're going to need to know that God is good. Right? The fact that he is good means he will not withhold when you come and you bring your petition before him. Right? If a person's good, we assume that means that they are generous, that they are giving, and that they are loving, right? God is a good God, and we need it settled in our hearts. You know that Jesus made this statement, that there is none good but God? If you've ever experienced any kind of goodness in this world, you got to know, it didn't even touch the goodness of God. Why wouldn't you ask? I remember recently I was in a coffee shop with some friends, and the coffee shop was kind of full. And there was three of us, and there was a table, but there's only two seats. And it's kind of like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen here. This is a little bit awkward. And the guy next to us, he was at a table for two, but it was just him. And so he said, hey, you know, please take the chair. I don't need it. I was like, oh, thank you so much. And I took the chair, and I sat down. I started crying. I think I just needed some love at that time. Because he was so kind about it. Are you listening to me today? Jesus says, there is none good but God. What's my point? Why wouldn't you ask? If you ever experienced any kind of goodness down here on the earth, it's not even close to the goodness of God. In fact, I love what James says. He says in James chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift, let me tell you where it comes from. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In fact, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. This whole salvation thing wasn't your idea. No, you're not good enough for that. But God, he is, and he brought you forth by the word of truth, because that's his nature. Good things come from God because he is good. Why wouldn't you ask? You and I need to have it settled in our heart when we go before the Father in reverence and respect. We need to be assured that he is good and that we will not be denied when we approach. Psalms 84, verse number 11 says this, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. in Luke chapter 12, in fact, you're there in Luke chapter 11, just the next chapter over in verses 27 and 28, Jesus makes this statement. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. If God cares that much about the grass, y'all, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? I've got good news for you today. God is interested in being good to you. He is interested in clothing you with his loving kindness and his tender mercies. The Bible says in Psalms 103 that he will beautify, dignify, and crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That he will let you taste of his goodness so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's just the God that we serve. And so today, you can be assured that upon approach, you will not be denied. What do we learn today? We learned some things from Jesus' prayer life, some things that Jesus taught us about prayer that is going to enhance our prayer life, because after all, we want to have an effective prayer life. We want to have a fruitful prayer life. We want to have a meaningful prayer life. We want to have, how about this, a relational prayer life with the Father. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Number one, you need to have a fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is foundational for any effective prayer life. Number two, you're going to have the boldness to ask. Don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. Be brazen enough to take God at his word. I dare you to ask God and watch what happens. And number three, you got to have it settled in your heart that the God that we serve is a good God, and he's not going to withhold good things from those who ask and from those who walk uprightly. Come on, if you got something good from God's word this evening, will you give Jesus a great big praise? Hallelujah. Oh, man. All right, you have to give me a second here, Chris, because I didn't tell you I was going to do this. Can I sing y'all a song? Yeah, that's going to mess me up. If you know it, you can, once I find my own key here. The song goes like this. I love it so much. It goes, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah. All right, Pastor Teresa. Okay, Chris, you can go ahead and play.
Yeah, you don't want me to sing. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, I like that word, audacious. We can be audacious with God, right? We can be audacious knowing that he's got everything that we need. So now our job is to go out and pray. And to pray. Thank you so much, Pastor Joe. Hey, you know what? Some of you been here and you came tonight for the very first time, and had church with us, worshiped with us, received the word of God with us. And we just want to say hello. We want to recognize you. So if you're here tonight in the house, in the building for the very first time, would you just raise your hand? Our ushers are going to stand at their feet and they're going to see you and just put something. We've got a new visitors right here. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Anywhere else? Right here, back in the corner, way in the back. Thank you so much. I see Matt's on his way back there, right here. You are welcome. We're so thankful to have you. Yeah, just keep your hands up. A couple of people, they'll get to you right now. If you're online and you've joined us for the service for the very first time, welcome. We're glad to have you. We're glad you're with us. And you stayed almost to the end here. There's still more to come, so don't sign off. If you'd like to text the number on the screen, we had a message from our senior pastors for you. You are very welcome. We're glad you're here. Those of you who just received that card, if you take a look at the card, there's a little flap at the end. We want you to keep the card because it's got some information, some service times, how to reach us, how to get to the website and learn more about the church. But that little flap on the right-hand side, if you just take a minute right now and fill that out, the offering buckets are going to pass in a minute, and you can drop that in there. And that's our way just to reach out, say we're glad you came. If you have any prayer requests, we're not going to bug you. We're not going to spam you, bother you. We just want to reach out and say we're glad you're here and see if you have any questions and how we can pray with you. So go ahead and take a minute now and fill that out. All right, church, we're going to turn to our moment of receiving tithes and offerings. Here's the wonderful thing. Each one of us are invited to be a part of sowing into the house of God right here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And so every month we take a moment so that you and I can remember where our tithes and our offering go and how God uses them to spread out and send them out throughout the nations all across the world and here locally to meet the needs of people, to take the gospel to people. And so what we want to do is we want to share a video testimony with you of something that just happened this summer here at our church in a trip that we went out to love on people and share the gospel with them. Give your attention to the screen.
This summer, we had the opportunity to bless the town of Ojos Negros in Mexico. This community is inhabited by families that work during the agricultural season. Together with Iglesia Dios de Pacto, we were able to visit the families, bring help and school supplies for 100 children, and above all, the message of hope in the gospel. Thank you, Rock Church.
That's right. So as we're faithful with our tithes and our offering, God is able to use it and multiply it and bless the lives of other people. So if you're ready to give tonight, there's several ways up on the screen that you can give electronically. You can use the church app. You can use that QR code right there. If you're sitting on a seat that's not in the front row, there's a little square right in front of you where you can just take your cell phone out and tap it, and it'll open right up to the giving page to assist you tonight. If you brought a physical offering, you want to sow with cash, check, or with your credit card tonight, just raise your hand in the air and our ushers are going to stand to their feet and they will serve you. They will get you an envelope so that you can fill out your credit card information or put cash in so that you can receive. We've got lots of hands right here in the back, on the back right side, Paul. There's about five or six hands here waiting. And just wave it, keep it in the air, keep it in the air. Be patient, and they're going to get right to you and get you that envelope so that you can get a tax deductible receipt at the end of the year and use that when you're filing taxes in the early part of the year to get a deduction from our government. We appreciate that. So as you're filling that out or as you're using your phone to send in your tithes and your offerings, they're just going to pray and bless that offering right now. Father, I thank you that you're the one who provides bread for food and seed for the sower. I thank you that you don't just take care of our needs, but you also entrust us with finances, God, that you want us to sow back into your kingdom, into the house of God, supporting the work of the ministry. And you invite us to do that with our first 10%, Lord, and then over and above that with our offerings. So tonight we receive those tithes. We receive those offerings into the house of God. I thank you that you're going to bless and multiply them, that they're going to meet the needs of this house, God, and they're going to meet the needs of the missionaries that we support all over the world and the mission trips that we send out from here at the Rock Church, God. And I thank you, Lord God, that as we sow into your kingdom, that you care for us. You said to to trust you in this, to test you in this, God, that if you will not open the windows of heaven in our life and you will not provide for our needs as we trust you with our finances. So we declare a blessing over the gift tonight and a blessing over the giver. And we thank you in advance that you meet every need. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, we've got a couple of announcements before Pastor Joe comes right back up with something really, really important at the end of the service. But we've got Holy Spirit Night coming up on Sunday, August 25th. So at the end of this month at 6 o'clock, come learn about and experience the power of God as the Holy Spirit teaches us through Pastor Jessica on the gifts of the Spirit. There's the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And she's been doing a series on different gifts, and then the Holy Spirit manifest himself using that gift for our congregation. It has been an incredible experience. You don't want to miss it. Mark your calendars now. Sunday, August 25th. Be here and bring a friend. Summer Connect nights right after service. We're having our Connect night. So go out there, say hello, get something to eat, grab a snack, enjoy the Connect night put on by our restoration ministry. Then go ahead. Wait, because it's Women Rock AM, I believe it's young adults. Is that right? Young adults, Friday night. There's not a video, but be here Friday night for young adults. A couple of videos, and Pastor Joe will be back.
I seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus.
A church in San Bernardino. A church aflame. A church desiring to seek the face of God. For 2 days, we're going to gather to worship, to hear the word of God, and be empowered by His grace. This is a gathering of all generations, all tribes, all tongues. An army that'll shake the works of darkness and usher in the kingdom of God.
There's actually still mentorship and gifting on your life. There's actually still a call. You didn't miss it because you didn't do it in your 20s. You didn't miss it if you didn't do it in your 30s. You didn't miss it if you didn't step into it in your 40s, no matter your age.
You have a grace that is sufficient. You have an anointing that annihilates the yoke. You have a gift that cannot be revoked, a destiny that cannot be stopped. You have mercies that are new every morning. You have the strength of the Father, the grace of the Son, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you have Jesus. You have everything you need.
Sign your little ones up for RockCon Kids. They're going to hear powerful messages, experience amazing worship, plus fun games and activities on their level. Special sessions for the youth. Group discounts are available. Lunch is included in registration, and early bird ends August 15th. Come receive the grace to walk in power and authority. You will never be the same.
Amen. You're going to want to be here. It's going to be absolutely awesome. Hey, you know, I received the call to go to Bible college, attending a church conference. And man, the rest is history. And so I'm excited for what God's going to do in your life. But listen, you got to be here, all right? You say, man, I got to buy a ticket. That cost me money. Yeah, you've put all kinds of money into Netflix and YouTube and all kind of stuff that don't matter one bit. You know, me and my wife have been searching for something to watch for like days and weeks. It's like there ain't nothing out there worth my time. Hey, this is going to be worth your time. You're going to want to be here. It's a conference for the entire family. I know it looks like we got a lot of dude speakers, but we do have some lady speakers coming for the women as well. Pastor Teresa, I believe, is taking a breakout. Pastor Jess is going to take a breakout. Zaida, that's right. Zaida's up there. All right. So there's going to be lots of female representation as well. So don't you worry about it. All right. get here, watch God do something amazing in your life. It's going to be an awesome time with the family. Amen. Now, for those of you, one last announcement. For those of you like, did that guy really just sing a song at the end of his message? Why would he do that? Do you know the Bible says that we are to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord? All right, I'm just going to throw it out there. There's some more homework for you to go look up tonight so you can know that Pastor Joe was being biblical. Amen. Hey, before we dismiss, I want to make sure that everybody here is right with God. All right? I don't know everybody here, and I don't know where you're at. But it'd be a shame for us to go through a service like this, for us to sing songs, hear a message, watch really cool announcement videos, just for you to leave here and not be right with God. And God forbid, but your life come to an end and you find yourself facing eternity without Jesus. Let me be very clear, everybody. That is the worst thing that could possibly happen to any human being alive ever. That you would face eternity without Jesus Christ. And here at The Rock, we love you enough to tell you the truth. We love you enough to confront you on the issue. We love you enough to say, hey, and to ask you, where are you at with God? And if you died tonight, where would you end up? Would it be in heaven or would it be in hell? Those are the only two places you can go when your life here on earth ends. And by the way, the Bible says this, that when you breathe your last, right, life does not cease to exist. You step into eternity and you'll spend the rest of eternity there. Funny, I mention it. I just watching a YouTube video with John Bevere. For those of you who know who John Bevere is, John Bevere has been a speaker here, well-respected man of God. And he was talking about the different people he's interacted with who have had life after death experiences. That they died and somehow they were resuscitated and they came back to tell their story. And he was sharing how many of them would say things like, man, when we left our body, we stepped into the real world. The world that we were on planet Earth felt like a dream. This one was the real thing. And there were colors there that, there were things that we saw and we didn't even know how to explain to you. What's my point? That life after death is very real and you need to take it seriously. And so where are you at with God? If you died tonight, God forbid, where would you end up? Would it be heaven or would it be hell? You needed to answer that question seriously and you need to answer that question honestly. Because that's where we are all headed, sooner or later. And I don't mean to scare you, but I want to love you enough to tell you the truth that life is fragile. Just, you can be young, healthy, have your whole life ahead of you. Get in a car accident, your life be over tonight. Catch a virus, and it lead to the end of your life. Get caught up in some crisis, and your life be over, and you're standing, and you're facing eternity. And you want to make sure that you're facing that eternity with Jesus Christ. So where would you end up? Now, if you answered that question and said, man, Pastor Joe, I hope I'd make it to heaven. You don't know where in the Bible to say that you can hope your way into heaven. Why would you take a chance with your eternity and say, man, I hope I'd make it? Tonight, I want you to know you can be sure about your eternal destination. And you can be sure about that destination through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But it's a matter of what you do with Jesus, what you do with God's Son, and what you do with his sacrifice on the cross. You say, well, hold on just a second, Pastor Joe, because I don't just hope I'm going to make it or think I'm going to make it. I'm a pretty good person. And, you know, you were talking about good neighbors tonight. You know, I'm one of those good neighbors. I mean, certainly God respects people who are good and is going to let them into heaven. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you are good enough or that you can be good enough or because you give and you're charitable and you help little ladies across the street or you do great things for your fellow man that somehow you have entrance into the kingdom of God? In fact, the Bible says something very different about our lives. The Bible says that we have all sinned. That includes me. We have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And there is none righteous, not one. In fact, it goes a step further and says, in fact, all of your good works before God amount to filthy rags. Remember, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts. See, when you measure up our goodness to the goodness and to the standards of God, my friends, we fall very, very short. And so you and I are both in need of a Savior. And his name is Jesus. And he came and he paid the penalty for your sin and for mine. And he died on a cross, a beaten, bloody mess. You know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the deal. Jesus took the punishment for sin. He died a criminal's death on a cross, was buried in a tomb, but 3 days later, he rose again from the dead to show that who he said he was, he really was, and that he had achieved and accomplished and gained salvation for humanity. And now he freely offers it to you. But what's my point? You cannot be good enough to make it to heaven today. None of us are good enough. You need something greater. You need something better. And his name is Jesus. You say, well, hold on just a second, Pastor Joe, because I'm not just good. I'm in church today. I've got a Bible. I know who Jesus is. I've got a cross or St. Christopher around my neck. I pray just like we were talking about. Did you know you can do all those religious things and still end up in hell? I could preach the gospel to you and still end up in hell. The Bible says, in fact, that the demons know who Jesus is and they tremble. I got news for you. They're not going to heaven. You can't think your way to heaven. Can't hope your way to heaven. Can't be good enough to make it to heaven. And my friends, today, you certainly cannot be religious enough to make it to heaven. There's a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was, we'll just call him a pastor of his day. And he came to Jesus in John chapter 3. And he said, Jesus, and I'm going to paraphrase, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus made this statement. He said, you must, Nicodemus, you're a pastor. You know the true God. In fact, you lead the people in the scripture. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you don't have anything to worry about. What he said is, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, born again is a little bit of a weird term. You might look at that and say, I've heard that in some pop culture and some music, and you know, we got references kind of all over the place. What did Jesus mean when he said born again? What he was saying to Nicodemus was this: Nicodemus, you have to have given me all of your heart and all of your life. And when you surrender to my lordship, because I am Lord, then I'll do something for you and I'll make you a brand new person by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's not until you surrender all of your heart and all of your life, you give me permission to work in your life, that you become born again. Are you hearing me today? It's not about good works and it's not about religious works. It's whether or not you have been born again, whether or not you have surrendered all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ. And those who have surrendered their hearts and lives to Jesus are the ones who can have the confidence and can be assured, hey, when I die, whenever that is, sooner or later, man, I'm going to find myself in the presence of the Lord in heaven, denying my place in a place called hell. So let me ask the question again to you tonight. Where are you at with God? And if you died today, where would you end up? Would it be heaven or hell? But let me get more specific and ask it this way. Have you given God all of your heart? Have you given God all of your life? Because that's what determines your eternity. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to hit my hands on the mic. Bang, just like that. When I do, if that's you, if you're here in the house today and you're honest enough with God and you're honest enough with yourself to say, hey, Pastor Joe, that's me today. I need to give Jesus all my heart. I need to give Jesus all my life. I want to turn away from doing life my own way. And I want to follow him. I want him to be Lord, and I want to be headed for heaven, denying hell. Then on three, when I hit my hand on this microphone, I want you to simply do this, and that is to raise your hand up in the air. I'll see it, and you can put it right back down. Let's be abundantly clear tonight. What you're saying by the raising of your hand is simply this: Pastor Joe, that's me. Tonight, I want to give God all my heart. Tonight, I want to give God all my life. I'll see your hand, and you can put it right back down. You say, well, wait a second, Pastor Joe. What if I'm embarrassed? Better to be embarrassed for a moment, which I don't think you'll be, than to spend an eternity in hell. Do you know that Jesus taught more about hell than he did heaven? It's a place of outer darkness. It's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where the fire doesn't cease. It's a place of complete separation from God, from anything that's good. It's a place where the worm never stops eating on people, Jesus said. That is the last place you want to end up, and you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy. I've got good news. God didn't make hell for people. God made hell for the devil. But if you're going to live like the devil, somebody needs to love you enough to tell you the truth. You need to get right with God, and you need to escape. You need to escape that, and you need to lay hold of the salvation that Jesus is offering today. Better to be embarrassed for a moment than to spend an eternity separated from God. Think of the trade-off. You're not that dumb. The devil thinks you are, but I know better. And so today, if that's you, if you need to give God all of your heart, if you need to give God all of your life, if you need to be serious and get on the right track and get back with God, then today's your day of salvation. You get your hand up in just a moment. I'll see it, and you can put it right back down. And then finally, for those of you, maybe you've made a commitment like this before. You said you're going to give God all of your heart. You said you're going to give God all of your life, but then you didn't follow that up with action. All right? This is your opportunity as well to rededicate yourself to God. Jesus said these words. He says, when I come back, I better find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you from my mouth. Serious words from Jesus. But listen, Jesus is looking for those who are sold out. Doesn't mean that you're perfect, but what it does mean is that you make your mistakes, but then you get back up and you keep on going on with Jesus, right? The Bible says the righteous man, he falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. And today, if you've fallen and you haven't gotten back up, this is your opportunity to rededicate your life and to get back up again and to get going with Jesus. So if that's you today, you're ready to give God all of your heart, all of your life, ready to be headed for heaven, denying hell, ready to leave sin behind, and lay hold of what God has, then on three, you get your hand up, I'll see it, and you can put it right back down all over this auditorium. Here we go. Are you ready? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Come on, lift your hand up right now. Let me see it. Thank you. 1, 2. God bless you. 3, 4. 4 wise people. 5. God bless you. See those hands? 5 wise people. Pastor Joe, that's me. Today, I want to give God all of my heart, all my life. 5 wise people. All right, 5 wise people, and they're all sitting on this side. All right, if I saw your hand, you can put it down. You mean to tell me there's nobody in this section that needs to get right with God? Come on. If you're sitting in your seat wondering if you should. That's God dealing with your heart. And you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get before it's over. Come on. If you're sitting in your seat wondering if you should. Today's your day of salvation. You need to get your hand up. 5 wise people. Didn't embarrass them. I'm not going to embarrass you. 5 wise people. We're going to close this thing down. Anybody else? Anybody in the family rooms? Anybody else? Come on, this is the day. Today is the day where things can change. You could be headed for heaven, denying hell. Anybody else? 5 wise people. Well, praise God for the 5 wise people in the building. Amen. This is what we're going to do. Let me have everybody stand to their feet tonight. All 5 of you, and anybody else, you didn't raise your hand, but you know you needed to. It's not too late. I want all of you to grab the things that you brought with you, the 5 that raised their hands, and anybody else who felt like you know what, I missed out on that opportunity. It's not too late. Grab the things that you brought with you. Grab a friend if you need a friend. I want you to scoot out of your aisle there, walk these rows, and meet me right down here in front. We're going to lead you in a prayer to give God all of your heart and give God all of your life. You come right now.
Welcome to the altar.
Like we got all five. Hey, listen, I'm going to lead you in a prayer to give God all of your heart and all of your life, right? So what we said today, that's what Jesus is looking for, that you'd surrender. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Joe? I'm glad you asked. This is what the scripture says, that if you believe in your heart that God sent Jesus, that he died, that he rose again, and you'll confess him as Lord, your Lord, with your mouth, okay? It says you shall be saved. Say, wait a second, what is, Pastor Joe, what is God looking for from me? That today, you from your heart would say, Jesus, I'm giving you my heart and I'm giving you my life. The Bible says that moment you are born again. You're moved, the Bible says, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, out of the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, headed for heaven, denying hell. You've got a future and you've got a hope, and it starts by you just simply, from your heart, saying yes to Jesus with your mouth. I want to lead you in that prayer. Everybody else in the room is going to join along with you and going to repeat after me, all right? So go ahead, bow your heads, close your eyes, and I just want you from your heart to say these words to God with your mouth. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you today, and I thank you for your great love for me, that you would send Jesus to die on a cross, to forgive me of my sins, and to pay for my penalty. Today, Lord Jesus, I believe that you came, that you died, but that you rose again, and that you are Lord. I give you today all of my heart and all of my life. I turn from sin to follow you. I won't be perfect, but you will help me to get up again and to continue to follow you all of my days. I thank you now. I am headed for heaven, denying hell. I've got a future and I've got a hope because now I'm yours and you're mine. Fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And congratulations, you guys. It's a done deal. Welcome to the family of God. You might not feel different, or you might feel different. Better watch out now, because God is true to his word, all right? But whether you feel different or not, you're going to go back to the car you came in, go back to the home that you came from, might even go back to a situation that you wish you weren't in. But here's the deal. You can look confidently in the mirror and know, I'm a child of God. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. I've got a future and a hope, and where I'm at right now is not where I'm going to stay. In Jesus' name, I'm so proud. I'm so happy for you. You know, this is my friend, Pastor Joel. If you'll go ahead and make a left-hand turn, my right, follow him right back over there. It's going to take a few moments. He's going to put some literature in your hands, and then he's going to let you go. Absolutely wonderful. Congratulations, y'all. Come on, family. Can we give them a round of applause? All right. I wish you guys could see what we see. These precious faces. They're some tough faces, guys. They got tears coming out of their eyes because God is doing something in their hearts. Never get tired of it. And you know what? Don't be afraid to share the gospel with somebody. In your workplace, in the marketplace, in the school place, you will be delighted. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. Don't leave it up to the pastor. We're just one fishing pole. Look how many fishing poles are out there sitting around. Come on, somebody. You got to be a good neighbor and share the gospel with Jesus. All right. Raise your hands to the Lord. Let me pronounce a blessing over you. Father, I thank you for each one of these, your sheep. Lord, we need your help. God, we know that you have a plan and a purpose for our prayer life. Lord, teach us to approach you with awe and respect, Lord, with audacity, and knowing that you are a good Father, and we are going to be blessed. Father, I ask that you bless your people, bless them coming, bless them going. Lord, bless them in the city, bless them in the field, that everything they put their hand to prosper. Lord, as we leave today, we want to say out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.